This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
On the last program, we featured Dr. Rebecca Brown, and she was teaching on how we can get demons into our life. Now, in this program, the second part in this series, she is teaching us on how we can get free from demons in our life. Dr. Brown has written many books on this subject and has been involved in setting many people free from this terrible malaise. So, here she is, Dr. Rebecca Brown. Hi, Doctor.
Hi. Let's talk today about this issue of deliverance. You got something that's continually influencing you to do bad. You got something that's just giving you all kinds of problems that's tormenting you. You can't sleep. You can't think. Your relationships all end up being destroyed. Your life ends up being destroyed no matter how hard you try. Well, you probably have got the influence of demon spirits into your life. And the question is how to get rid of them. Well, first of all, I have to tell you there's only one power anywhere that is greater than the demon spirits, and that is the Creator God, Jesus Christ. There isn't any other power that's greater. So the number one requirement is you have to make a decision as to which God you're going to serve. If you want to continue living simply to serve yourself and to do whatever you want to do when you want to do it, well, that's fine. Go right ahead. All I can say is enjoy your torment. Secondly, you're going to have to make a decision that there's going to be some changes in your life. That when you make the decision you're going to serve Jesus Christ, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. That means there's going to be some changes in your life. But the good news is that when you do make the decision to serve Jesus Christ, then his power is available to you to help you to change. Now, you can't change on your own. You can't just decide, well, I'm going to stop doing this, and then you stop doing it. It doesn't work that way. I'm sure many of you have tried that already. All right, so the first step is to serve Jesus Christ. How do you do that? You make a choice. And then you open your mouth and you speak out loud and you talk to God. You may feel kind of stupid doing it because God's invisible, but remember, this is how we communicate with that invisible spirit realm is through the spoken word. So you simply open your mouth. You've got to speak out loud because Romans tells us if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you shall be saved. So you're going to open your mouth, you're going to say something like this, Father God, I am telling you, asking you now to accept me because I have made the decision to serve you and Jesus Christ. From this point on, Jesus Christ is going to be my God and my Savior, and I am asking you to save me and to forgive my sins and to come into my heart and to live in me. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. It's that simple. You make the decision and you tell the Lord about your decision. You speak it out loud. There's nothing fancy about it. When you pray, prayer is talking. You're simply talking to God instead of to anyone else, only, of course, with great respect. And remember this, you always pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. That's how Jesus instructed us to do it. So once you have made this decision to serve Jesus Christ, then your next step is, of course, you got to get a Bible because you got to find out what his commandments are and you got to start reading it and begin reading in the New Testament. I suggest you begin in the book of Luke because it gives a real chronological, detailed story of Jesus and what he did when he was here. But you should be reading some from your Bible every single day of your life and understand that the Bible is God's word to us. Now, then next, you've got to start cleaning up your life because you've done so many bad things in your life. All of us have. I am not talking to you as someone who is sinless. Believe me, I think I've made about every mistake that's possible to make and then some. I have done wrong. There isn't a single person on the face of this earth who has not done wrong, but you've got to clean it up. Once again, the question is, how? Okay. First Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, dearly beloved, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of flesh and spirit." That tells us that it is my responsibility to cleanse myself, and it is your responsibility to cleanse yourself. Okay, fine. So now we know that's a command. Again, the question is, how? First Epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 9. If, that means we have a choice, we're going to do it or we won't, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, so what does that word confess mean?
Yeah.
A confession is a clear, concise statement of fact. So you are going to state clearly, you are going to name your sins to the Lord one by one. I've written a little booklet called Guide to Cleansing Your Life from Sin. Only costs $3. You can get it on my website or through this radio program that'll help you to do that. But you need to get a notebook and start writing down. Ask the Lord to bring to your memory everything you've done. Every person who you had sex with outside of marriage, anything that you've done that's been involved in witchcraft or the occult, these are the things that have allowed demon spirits to come into your life. Okay, so the demons have come in. How do you kick them out? Once again, Jesus said, Mark chapter 16, verse 17, "These signs shall follow those who believe in me." You see, that's you, because you just made the decision that you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you have accepted him as your God. So Jesus is talking about you there. And he said that these signs shall follow you. Then Jesus says, "In my name they will cast out demons." So our power and authority is in the name of Jesus. How do we kick them out? Do we physically grab hold of them and throw them out? No, no. The demons are spirits. They are not physical at all. We do it through the spoken word. That's how we interact with the invisible, unseen spirit realm. So we use the name of Jesus, and we do it with the spoken word. Now, there's many different ministries out there that have different ways of tackling this problem of kicking out demons. Please understand, I'm not putting any of them down. I'm just trying to operate, you know, according to God's word. And when I first started in all of this, I spent hours arguing with demon spirits, as we talked about in our earlier sessions on this series of radio programs. But then, when I entered into my medical practice and I was bringing people out of hardcore Satanism to Jesus Christ literally on a daily basis, I didn't have all those hours and hours to get people set free from the demons in their life. And that drove me to my knees saying, "Lord, when Jesus commanded the demon to come out, it came out right then. And why is it that I'm arguing with one stinking lousy demon for a whole hour before it comes out?" And the Lord answered and said to me, "Exactly." And then he proceeded to show me, when a person permits a demon spirit to control their physical body in any way, such as to speak through them or to write through them or to communicate through them, whether it be through dance or any other way, they are sinning the sin of being what is called a spiritualist medium. This is what spiritualist mediums do, and that's totally condemned in the Bible. Now, when the person doing the deliverance, meaning me, when I was talking to the demons and asking them questions like, "What's your name? How did you get in there? Who else is in there?" I was sinning the sin of divination, because that's what divination is. Divination is finding out information from demon spirits.
Communicating with them.
Huh?
Having communication with them, talking.
I was, yes, exactly.
Okay.
And so when the person being delivered is in sin and the person doing the deliverance is in sin, it's just real hard to get the demons to come out because they're hanging on to the sin.
Okay.
Do you see?
Yeah, they're legalists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, "Okay, Lord, then how do I know what demons to kick out?" And the Lord said, "It's very simple. You have to put the axe at the root of the tree. What is it that permits demons to come in? Sin. So first, you got to deal with the sin, and I just told you how. Confession and repentance. Repentance means you stop doing it. Confession means you name it. Then it's cleansed. You ask God to forgive you for that specific sin. Then you simply command the demons that came into you through that particular sin to get out of you immediately and forever in Jesus' name. You do that by speaking out loud. And they have to go. They don't have a choice. And then you accept in faith that they're gone. Okay, so what is faith? Another term we throw around. Let's define terms. What is faith? Faith is accepting as fact that God always fulfills his word. Let me give you an example. Faith is a decision. You wouldn't step off a 10-foot tall building, would you, Jim?
No.
No, why?
I know that I'll be hitting the ground within a few seconds.
Why would you hit the ground?
Well, gravity's always there. I don't see it, but feel it.
But you have chosen to accept as fact that gravity exists, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. That's
so
right.
You have faith in gravity. See,
okay.
You made that decision. Now, little children have not yet made that decision. They would step off the top of a 10-story building. That's why we have to protect them. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So faith is accepting as fact, just as you accept the reality of gravity, that God always performs his word. God's word says, if you confess your sin, I'll cleanse it. God's word says, if you command the demons to get out in the name of Jesus, I'll take them out. Do you see how simple it is?
Yeah, you can trust God's word then.
Yes,
absolutely. Wow, okay.
And that's what faith is all about, is making that decision that you can trust God's word, that his word is true.
And you'd have to know a little bit of it too, though, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. But I've just given
okay.
you basically all the word that you need in order to be set free. And so deliverance comes down to four simple steps. Step one, name the sin. Step two, repent. That means you stop doing the sin and confess. You name the sin. You speak out loud and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess to you that I had sinful sex with so-and-so. I'm asking you to forgive me and cleanse me from that in Jesus' name. Okay? That's step two. Step three, then, you do not need to know the demon's name. You don't need to know how many there are. You simply then command in the name of Jesus every demon that came into you through that particular sin to get out of you at once, and they have to go. So step three, you open your mouth, you speak out loud, and you say something like this. In the name of Jesus, I command every demon that came into me through my sinful sex with so-and-so to get out of my life right now and forever in Jesus' name. That's the end of the story. They're gone. Step four, you accept in faith that they're gone. There's no fight. There's no manifestation of demons. It's no big deal. Deliverance becomes a quiet confession and step in faith. And what used to take me days and weeks and hours and hours and hours to get someone set free, now I can do it in a very short period of time. Actually, they're doing it. I'm simply the coach.
Interesting. In your first book, it was an adventure. You were wrestling demons and human spirits. It's the most fascinating book.
I was.
Book.
And that, you know, that first book detailed all my mistakes. But you know what the wonderful thing is? We serve a God who honors the desires of our heart. And even if we don't do everything the best way that it can be done, things still do get accomplished. And Elaine, that woman in that book, still, the demons still did get kicked out of her life. But it sure did. Was a lot of time and effort on my part that absolutely didn't need to be, because you see, I was trying to fight them all the wrong way instead of simply allowing Jesus to take care of it.
In that book, though, I learned so much what was going on in my life as you fought those demons and human spirits and Satanists. I learned that some of the language, I was able to identify what was going on. And so you took the hard road for us, that the road of learning the lessons, and you wrote it in a book, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. We learned maybe what not to do.
Yes, and you know, I have asked the Lord since then, should I go back and rewrite that book? And he said, no, because what you were experiencing then is what so many people are experiencing currently today.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to know that they're not alone. I think one of the most frequent comments that I get from people that have read He Came to Set the Captives Free is, at last, there's somebody else that won't think I'm crazy.
That's right.
I hear that constantly, all the time. And the other thing that I hear continually from people that have read that book is, once I realized the reality of Satan and his kingdom, the reality of God and his kingdom really became real to me in a fresh and a new way.
I consider that book pivotal in understanding demons and spirits. You know, you can't read that exact account in the Bible. You can skirt on those issues a little bit, but it's not explained. It's not laid out in a way that your book does it. I believe it's right from God's desire that you would do that. Mm-hmm. Go through that.
And understand, too, you know, I was operating from a position of complete ignorance. There weren't any books available. This was back in 1979, 1980. All the writing on spiritual warfare that's available today was simply not available back then.
No.
And I had no one to help me except the Lord. I was completely on my own. And so I learned, quite frankly, in the school of hard knocks.
Yeah, yes, you did. And you took the knocks for us, though, I think. Yeah, you laid out a ministry that will forever benefit us.
Yes, and now that's why, you know, I shared this in my book, Becoming a Vessel of Honor, what I've just been sharing right now about deliverance is in that book. I had learned it by then, and I'm getting ready to put out a little booklet strictly on deliverance. But, you know, I've learned a better way, a more scriptural way, and a much easier way.
Mm-hmm.
You can spend hours and hours fighting with demons if you want to, but let me tell you what, when you get older, you're really looking for an easier way to do things.
That's right. Well, sometimes we don't have time to go through all that you went through.
Oh, no.
And you just faced so many battles. Of course, you faced quite a few battles since then, too.
Yes, but it's been in a whole different level.
Okay.
I no longer have the physicality of it that I did back then because, you know, but you're always learning. I'm still learning. I'll never stop learning. I'll be a student all the rest of my days here on earth and throughout all of eternity.
And that's a good confession because we should be in a learning state, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a healthy state to be in. And, you know, as you were saying, I found this is one Christian principle that I've really enjoyed, and I've really enjoyed Christianity so much more when I found out that you can be wrong. You know, if your heart's right, but you're wrong, you know what? You're going to make it through.
Yes, the Lord is going to bring you back to the right way. He's very gracious that way.
Mm-hmm. I'm not telling people to go do something wrong. It's you can make a lot of honest mistakes. And you know what? It's not the end. God wants you to learn. He's trying to teach you. You're in a process of learning.
And that's another wonderful thing about Christianity, Jim.
Well, people do have different styles.
Mm-hmm.
They have a success rate. Some, you know, claim a high success rate, some occasionally. It's actually his mercy and love that we're living in.
That's because God values individuals. He creates each one of us completely different.
That's right. We got a few more minutes on the program, and we've been talking about deliverance, something so necessary today as our country gets more and more involved in accepting the occultic and demonic. More and more people, I think, are going to need to hear that word deliverance.
Yeah, there isn't. Well, truthfully, unless you were born into a multi-generational family of Christians who have walked really clean lives, everybody is going to need deliverance to a certain extent, more
mm-hmm.
or less. And this is the thing that's going to set you free for the Holy Spirit to work into your life. You'll just be amazed at the changes that'll come through in your relationship with the Lord as a result of this.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody might say, well, I'm not too sure I need deliverance. Here's some indicators to me that you might need deliverance. Listen to me. You're depressed. things keep on turning out wrong. You can't seem to pray. You can't seem to get into the Bible. You're agitated. You're confused. All these things are a good indicator that something is blocking, something is binding you, and you need set free.
And here's another couple. I so frequently have people say, you know, I accepted Christ and I was all on fire for the Lord. I loved going to church. I loved reading the Bible. I loved praying. I talked to God. God spoke to me. And all of a sudden, it's like somebody turned out the light. Mm-hmm. I hear this over and over and over again. Somebody turned out the light and I don't hear from God anymore. I don't get anything out of reading the Bible. I don't have any desire to pray. I don't have any desire to go to church. I don't have any relationship with God anymore, and I don't know why. I hear this all the time. Mm-hmm. This is a classic example of someone with an uncleansed life. They accepted Christ, and they've been serving God, but they never took the time to specifically cleanse their life the way that I've been talking about, and the way that Scripture commands us to. And if you've never taken the time to sit down and pray and ask the Lord to bring to your memory every sin you've committed that you haven't dealt with, that you haven't confessed and asked for forgiveness for, if you haven't done that, you need to do that. You should set aside an hour a day and review your life from your earliest memory to present. And just sit and think about it and ask God to bring those things to your memory and make a list on a notebook in a piece of paper as these things come to your mind. That way, you won't forget them. Then set aside a chunk of time, get on your knees, get your list, and start praying through. And confess each one, one by one by one, to the Lord, out loud. Turn off the television, turn off the radio, lock the door, unplug the phone. Then, in those three categories, inheritance, sexual sins, and any involvement in the occult, if you've been involved in any of those sins, when you confess those sins, then you need to take the extra step of commanding all demons that came into you through that particular sin to get out it once and forever in the name of Jesus. If you'll take the time to do that, I guarantee you, your life will change.
Oh, that was wonderful, Dr. Brown. I sure enjoy your ministry. Now, some of you people out there may not completely understand all that Dr. Brown is saying. She just gave us a simple teaching today. But actually, Dr. Brown has an in-depth look into what she's talking about. She has experience, and you can find out about her qualifications and experience and credibility in her books. Here you can learn more if you feel that you're demon-oppressed, afflicted, possessed, involved in satanic cults or in things that you can't get free of, and you're experiencing now the pain that is associated with demons. You can read Dr. Brown's books, and you will learn how you can be free. You'll find that there are other people that have experienced what you're experiencing. And she's written many books, three of the ones I have in front of me. He Came to Set the Captives Free. There she contends with one of the top brides of Satan in the United States and has many battles in her while she's learning. The second book, Prepare for War, is a continuation of her first book. And then she has many others, such as Unbroken Curses. And if you feel that you are a person that needs this type of ministry and you want to learn more, then listen to our announcer. He's going to tell you how to get a hold of Rebecca, her website, and my website. Okay, thank you so much for your time today. God bless and set you free.
If you are interested in purchasing books or Dr. Rebecca Brown, you can log on to www.harvestwarriors.com. Once again, that's www.harvestwarriors.com.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rome. I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne,
Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, and he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Flying with Global Air Force.